Welcome to the Bounded Enthusiasm Podcast. I'm Jonathan Liu. My guests today are Gene Young and Sunny Liu. They've got a new book coming out called The Shadow Hero, which is a superhero comic by First Second Books featuring a Chinese superhero. Welcome to the podcast, Gene and Sunny.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for having us.
One of you, would you like to give me just sort of a brief overview of what The Shadow Hero is and what the story is?
So the Shadow Hero is the story about the Green Turtle, who is arguably the first Asian American superhero ever created. He's not our character. He was actually created by a Chinese American cartoonist named Chu Hing in the 1940s. He was a World War II hero. And there's this rumor around his creation. So the Green Turtle first appeared in a series called Blazing Comics, and he wasn't very popular, so he only lasted about 5 issues. But the rumor about him is that Chu, his creator, wanted him to be a Chinese American, like he himself was, wanted his hero to be Chinese American, but his publishers wouldn't let him do it. So, you know, Chu Hing, as a cartoonist, he reacted the way typical cartoonists do. He just reacted in this really passive aggressive way. The original Green Turtle comics, the hero almost always has his back towards the reader. So all we see is his cape. And then when he is turned around, something is blocking his face. It's either like another character's head, or it's a piece of furniture, or it's a shadow. So we almost never get a clear view of the character's face. And the rumor is that Chu Hing did this so that he and his reader could imagine his hero as a Chinese American. Because he wasn't very popular, because he was canceled after just 5 stories, we never actually find out whether or not he actually is a Chinese American. We never find out his secret identity. We never find out his secret origin. And that's what Sunny and I are doing with The Shadow Hero, is we are providing a secret origin and a secret identity to this obscure hero who's rumored to be an Asian American from the 1940s.
Right. But he has very pink skin for some reason.
I have a question. Where did the rumors come from? I've been hearing from you, actually. I'm no idea where they actually...
I've read it on the internet, and I've talked to like some Golden Age collectors who've also said that. I don't know. I mean, that's why it's a rumor, right? I don't know where it originated from.
Need to track down the origin story of the...
Of the rumor.
Of the origin story?
Yeah, that's right.
How did the two of you get connected to work on this book together?
Well, I think the first time we worked together was on the Secret Identities. Yeah, I'm not sure how we hooked up, actually. I think the editors put it together or something like that. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, I requested you, dude.
That was like a random thing.
Yeah, but Jeff Yang also thought we would be a good fit with each other.
Mm-hmm. And he was the one that did the Secret Identities book.
Yeah.
So for Shadow Hero, did you request Sunny for this one, or were you talking about Secret Identities?
No, I requested Sunny for both. So I had finished most of the script before I brought it to First Second, and then we were talking about artists, and Sunny was at the top of my list, just because I liked working with him so much on Secret Identities.
Yeah, what's the process like from your perspective, Sunny? Like, what do you get when Gene sends you, you know, a script?
Well, he doesn't actually send me a script. He sends a script together with his thumbnails, which is kind of a little bit intimidating, because I think he's a very good storyteller, and his thumbnails work on their own. So I always kind of feel like pressure to try to do something different, but at the same time not destroy what's already done. Yeah, so that's always like a little bit tricky for me when I see his thumbnails and his script. Yeah.
No, Sunny does an awesome job, dude. So I mean, part of the reason I wanted to work with him is because, you know, in comics you have some folks who are pure illustrators. They can throw down a picture like nobody's business, but their storytelling sense isn't necessarily there. But Sunny, he's both a writer and an artist, so he has this really sophisticated, deeply ingrained story sense. So I knew going in that I could just trust them, you know.
Yeah, and I think we kind of have maybe the same mindset about things. Like, you know, after reading about how we couldn't see his face in the original comics, I actually asked Gene if we could include that into our comic. And he already thought about it. He already thought of doing that in one of the chapters where we see the Green Turtle from the back and from the front for one whole chapter. So I think we kind of have the same sort of sensibility about storytelling, and that makes it really easy to work together.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's definitely true.
How did you go about designing the character of, you know, Hank, who becomes the Green Turtle?
For me, I think I just go up. What I try to do is I look up real actors, and I kind of look for a character who looks a bit like what I have in mind. In this case, I found an old actor from Hong Kong. I can't remember his real name actually right now, but it's one of those Shaw Brothers martial art actors. And I basically based the drawings on him and, you know, did about a bunch of sketches that I sent to Gene and the editors to approve of.
They're great. So he actually details his process on his website. So if you do a search on his name, you'll his preliminary sketches.
I did notice there was the, you know, when his mom is trying out all the various different attempts to give him super abilities, that that there's the one where he ends up with, you know, the glowing pink skin.
Yeah.
And I assume that's sort of an homage to the originals where he's very pink.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the scans, so like so many of the other characters from the 1940s, these obscure superhero characters, the Green Turtle is now in public domain. The copyright laws were just very different back then. And you can find all of his original comics legally online at places like the Digital Comics Museum. So that's where I first read his comics. I downloaded them from the Digital Comics Museum. And I don't know if it's the scans or what, but in those originals, his skin is just so pink. It's like crazy pink. It's almost like, I know that Chu didn't color his
Is it pinker than the other Caucasians in the story? I can't remember.
The same. Yeah, it's the same pinkishness as that. But the Caucasians were all crazy pink. Yeah, it's like right. It's like they really wanted to make sure you knew these guys are white and these guys are Asian.
Right, because the Asians are not the same color. Yeah, they're all the same color as each other. And then you've got the Green Turtle, and there's not very many Caucasians in the one that's included in the back of the Shadow Hero. You don't see as many of them, but he's definitely much pinker than the Asians that he's rescuing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's part of that those books have like two stories in them, right? And then the other stories have Caucasian heroes, and they're the same pink as Green Turtle, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. You know, the Green Turtle stories, I mean, he actually uses a lot of stereotypical images in his depictions of Japanese. But if you look at some of the other stories in Blazing Comics, you know, that follow the Green Turtle story, it gets crazy. Like the yellow that they use for the Asian characters is just like this super bright yellow. It's really nutty.
So I wanted to ask you, Gene, you know, I know part of both this story and some of, I think, a trend in some of the other things you've written, like American-born Chinese and in Boxers and Saints, is to look at Asian characters and Asian-American characters to turn over some of the stereotypes that are in existing comics. But at the same time, you have, like, you know, his mom, Hank's mom, is kind of this stereotypical Chinese mom steering his life. She's like, no, you need to do this. And I wondered, like, how do you balance the use of kind of the stereotypes for humor and still be sensitive to portraying people as sort of real people?
Yeah, I could tell you how I try. I don't know. I mean, it's up to the reader to decide how successful it is, right? For Hank's mom in particular, I actually, you know, I finished the script before the whole Tiger Mom controversy came out. And when the whole Tiger Mom controversy came out, I was so mad that we didn't have the book ready yet. There was this whole gap in the middle where Sunny and I weren't able to work on the book because it was kind of in contract limbo. Mm-hmm. And just, man, we are missing out on this cultural zeitgeist with this whole Tiger Mom thing coming out. But what I was hoping to do with Hank's mom was to show her as a stereotypical Tiger Mom in the beginning and then move her beyond that by the end of the book. And I really think that's an effective way of dealing with stereotypes, right? I mean, I hope that's an effective way of dealing with stereotypes, is to move characters, you know, maybe start them off within the box and then move them outside of the box by the end of the story.
Right. I just love the little, you know, the little montage, right? You can imagine this in a movie where she's like, here, you know, drink this stuff. Go touch this toxic spill. You know, one of these things might give you superpowers.
Yeah, that page was really awesome. That was one of the pages where Sunny actually made significant changes to my original thumbnails. And I think it's because Sunny just has a much more innovative way of approaching. Like, I think Sunny sees.
I was trying to justify my part in the project, really. I could just follow your thumbnails and it would have been just as good, I think.
No. Well, do you want to talk a little bit about how you came up with that particular page?
Yeah, I think the issue I had with that page was that there were a lot of shots of the other couple reading on the left-hand side of the page. Mm-hmm. And it just the balance just seemed a bit off compositionally, so I tried to make it work a little bit more organically with the new layout.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it turned out great. Turned out awesome. Yeah.
Thanks, G.
And I like, Sunny, I like the way in your artwork where you have some of the times you've got characters, you know, especially Hank himself, he looks realistic, right? He's not an especially cartoony looking guy. But then there are these sort of slapstick moments, and you get like, oh, right now, when the guys are running out of the poker game, where they're all, you know, tiny and short, and you mix up these kind of realistic and very detailed environments with this humorous, you know, suddenly he switches into, sort of a slapstick mode or slapstick expression.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's partly the manga influence. You know, they do a lot of these switches where the characters look realistic in one panel and look really kind of small and cute in the next panel. And I think that's one of the great things about comics is you can switch between stars like that and not get a reader too weirded out. If they did it in a movie, I think it'd be really strange.
Right. So. I wanted to talk about other projects that you both have worked on. For Gene, I know you are a teacher, and I read the little one-pager that you did for the Reading with Pictures book, which is coming out later this year, about comics and education. And I wanted to find out from you, what do you teach? And do you feel like you're going to be able to bring comics more into your teaching?
So I've been working at a high school for about 15 years now, and recently I haven't been in the classroom. Recently I've had to go part-time because my comics have been taking up more and more of my hours. So lately I've just been managing a database for them. But for well over a decade, I was in the classroom. I mostly taught computer science. I did a little bit of math and a little bit of art, but it was mostly computer science. And there were certain places where I was able to incorporate comics into my classroom. I used them in place of lectures in a math class, and I also taught my kids how to create comics in a computer art class. But my next project, one that I'm just in the early stages of, is actually going to be an explicitly educational comic, an explicitly educational graphic novel series about coding, about programming. So I'm hoping to finally bring these two worlds together.
Great.
Why don't you teach comics? I'm kind of curious to ask, actually.
Oh, well, you know what? Actually, I also teach through Hamline University. I'm part of their online MFA program. And it's mostly adults who are interested in writing for kids and young adults. And I'm the graphic novel guy. So we have, like, poetry people. We have novelists and short story people. And then I'm the graphic novel guy. So in that sense, I'm teaching comics. I'm teaching adults how to write kids' comics.
That's great. Do you feel like there's a big difference between writing kids' comics and writing adult comics?
Well, you know what? I feel like I'm naturally really prudish, so my stuff just kind of younger, you know? I don't think I could do what, like, Grant Morrison does or Alan Moore does. Mm-hmm. I just don't think... I think their stories are great, but I don't think I have the stomach for writing that stuff. So I don't know. That's a big debate within YA, is what makes something young adult versus adult, right? And I don't know if I have a great answer for that. Some of it, I think, has to do with subject matter, like if you're dealing with coming-of-age issues. Some of it has to do with the age of the protagonist. But ultimately, I don't know, ultimately that border is very fuzzy.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think one thing for written books is simply the difficulty of the vocabulary, which I don't see as much in comics. I mean, I think comics written for adults don't necessarily have a more complex or you know, more difficult vocabulary. But I wonder if there's something equivalent in, you know, the sort of the sophistication of how you read a comic.
This was actually a debate that Sunny and I had as we were doing The Shadow Hero, is how sophisticated the reader is going to be. You know, because my feeling, and maybe I'm biased, but my feeling is that Asian readers are a little bit more sophisticated when it comes to comics than American readers are, simply because I think comics, like graphic novel type comics, are much more pervasive in Asia than they are in America. Things are changing. It's definitely different now, but that's my general sense. I don't know how Sunny feels about that.
You're talking about the panel we had, right? The panel which we couldn't quite figure out how to design.
Yeah.
Which one was that? Yeah,
I can't remember what page it is. Pretty late in the book where I think the shadow talks to the other shadow. And I tried out this layout, which didn't quite work. And I think so we had a long debate about whether readers could understand what was going on. In the end, I think we opted for a sort of a simpler layout.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the root of that debate was, I bet if you published it, like Sunny basically created this gorgeous page, right? Because he looks at things in a whole page way, where I don't. But we were worried, like when we tested it out with American readers, they just couldn't follow the sequence of the word balloons. But my guess is that if you did that same page for somebody who grew up on manga, that they would be able to get through it with no problem.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
You mean, you know, like breaking out of the sort of you know, left to right, top to bottom
format? Yeah.
I seen it done in Tezuka, and he did it really well. And I tried to do something similar, but His was somehow just better design. I couldn't quite get to that point, unfortunately.
Do you have plans or hopes, I guess, for more of the Green Turtle? Or do you feel like you were wanting to give him this origin story and leave it at that?
Well, Sunny and I did do like a short story for him for Shattered, which was a follow-up to Secret Identities. So we did it as a newspaper strip, a week's worth of newspaper strips.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about that, Sunny? Like, if the opportunity came up, would you want to do some more?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot depends on how well the first one does, right? In terms of book sales, whether the second one's another volume. But yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see him go to the Second World War and how he would interact with that particular period of history. I think that'd be really interesting, actually.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It depends on how the book does. I hope it does well, and it'd be awesome. I would love to do more Green Turtle books with Sunny.
All right, everyone go buy The Shadow Hero so we can see more of the Green Turtle.
Yeah, just because he would be a great way of exploring China during the World War II and post-World War II.
Was it difficult at all to set the story in the World War II era? Was it most of, at least, Gene, most of your books are set in sort of modern day, today, like whatever today happens to be. So this one is, you know, kind of a period piece. Did it present any particular challenges, or did it actually make it easier?
So you want to talk about that? I think you do a lot more.
Well, visually, yeah, it was a bit of a challenge just to get visual materials and references. You know, I had to buy a lot of books, go online and search for, like, Chinatown back in the 1930s. Yeah, it was quite a lot of research involved. If it was, like, a modern setting, it'd be much easier. You could just grab any city and get the right look. But for historical piece, I think it's a lot tougher. And, I always kind of envy those Disney animators who get to spend a year going to the place, visiting the actual places to get the references, because with comics you have a lot less time and leeway for research.
I mean, I know that Sunny did a ton of research to get the backgrounds right and the cars and the clothes and all that kind of stuff, and you know, all of our early reviews remark about that, talk about how the visuals just really fit with the time period. They really evoke that time period.
Yeah, I think, I mean, even sort of the color palette, which is somewhat muted, you know, kind of makes it feel historical. Whose idea was it to put Lawful, the detective, in a yellow suit?
That was funny.
It's like, there was,
what was Dick Tracy? Dick Tracy. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He needs a little wrist communicator.
He does.
No, that was fun. That was a fun.
He looks good. He looks good in yellow.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
And I wondered, you know, like how many other little references there were, visual references or you know, story references that I wasn't catching. Are there any secrets?
There's a scene where Uncle Wong, what's his name again? I can't remember the name.
Uncle Wan Tu,
yeah. He's wearing this costume that's based on a character from Hong Kong called Lao Fu Zi or Old Master Q.
Oh, Lao Fu Zi,
He's wearing the same, you know, suit with the little dots on the front. You look at the, where kind of his training hack at one point, I think he's wearing that costume.
Okay. Yeah. I'll have to go back and look for that.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome. And then the like all the villains, not necessarily villains, but all the people in the Tong in the gang, they're all named after mahjong pieces. They're kind of like the mahjong version of the Royal Flush Gang from DC Comics.
I didn't know about this Royal Flush Gang.
Oh, you didn't know about the Royal Flush Gang?
No,
yeah, kind of goofy. They all look like playing cards. It's kind of funny. Yeah, at least one of the villains on a Bruce Lee villain, right?
Yeah, I thought you knew because he looked exactly like the guy from The Last Dragon, Enter the Dragon. So I thought you based it on him, but you know, which is coincidence.
Yeah, I did not, because I don't think I think I might have seen Enter the Dragon when I was really little, but I barely remember it.
So I know Gene, you mentioned that you're working on this educational project. Sunny, what are you working on? I know before the call you said you're up working on a book right now, and it's you know, 2 or 3 a.m. in Singapore right now. So
yeah. It's called The Art of Chai Chai Hok Chai. I'm not really sure how to describe it yet. It's the longest book I've worked on. It's about like 280 pages. So it's been a real challenge just in terms of getting the narrative to work. Because I've done short stories before, mostly on my own. So to do a story this long has been a real nightmare to some degree.
Is it a solo project? You're writing and illustrating?
Gene's seen a bit of it. I'm not sure what he thinks of it.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's amazing. It's basically Sunny taking on a whole bunch of different genres of comics and exploring the history of Singapore through these different genres of comics. So part of it reads like an old-time adventure strip. Part of it reads like a modern-day indie comic. It's pretty amazing.
All right. Well, something to watch for.
It shows his flexibility as an artist. It's really amazing.
And Sunny, I always like to find out, you know, what do you find are the challenges and the benefits of illustrating your own writing versus illustrating something that someone else has written?
Well, I think we do your own writing and drawing. You feel closer to the material. Like everything, all the decisions are your own. But you know, at the same time, I think you definitely learn a lot when you work with another writer, because it's like getting inside someone else's head and seeing new ways of telling stories and of structuring stories. So, you know, I think definitely. I think I like doing both, actually. I like working with writers and working on my own. I think you kind of learn different things from the different processes.
I knew you did the comics adaptation of Pride and Prejudice. A Sense and Sensibility. Sorry, I don't know my Jane Austen as well. Shame on me. But in that one, I mean, did you do the illustration, or did you do also the adaptation of it?
Just the illustrations. It was a writer called Nancy Butler who did the adaptation. Mm-hmm. That one was actually a little tricky, because a lot of text. You know, we had to put in a lot of words and a lot of, you know, stuff in the actual book. So getting that to work as a comic was much trickier than other books I've worked on before.
Right, it's very wordy.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you guys want to share with the listeners?
Well, I hope they check out Shadow Hero, and I hope they like it.
Yeah, that's basically it.
All right. Well, thanks so much for taking time out of your day to talk to me. And Sunny, thanks for staying up late.
It's like almost 3 now, huh?
2:30, yeah. 2:30.
Yeah. All right. Well, good luck with both of your ongoing projects, too. And the Shadow Hero releases on July 15th, so we should watch for that.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Jonathan.